Alrighty. Tongatsugitsi to the City of Iqaluit Planning and Development Committee of the Whole Meeting Number 2 on this February 17th. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome our interpreters. We've got Andrew and Lisa with us this evening. I'd also like to welcome our new Deputy CAO, Jamie Evick, who's just joined us here at the City after a long background working in Pang as well as with Nunavut Association Municipalities. So welcome, Jamie. And also Ramadan Mubarak. It's the first night of...
And could you dip your mirror? There's an echo somewhere coming from over there.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it there. Thank you, Councillor Tilley. Technical difficulties. Testing. There, I think we're good. Yeah, welcome, Jamie, and yeah, Ramadan Mubarak to all our residents who celebrate. It's the first night of Ramadan this evening, so yeah, we'll get into it. First item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. We do have one addition, which is an in-camera item for 6A, which is just going to be a verbal item. So with that, just a motion to adopt the agenda. Councillor Tilley moves. Councillor Kunuk seconds. Any questions or comments to the agenda? Oh, Mayor Awa.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Not about the agenda. I just want everyone to know that tonight I've been invited to go to IBC, so I'll be leaving at some point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Awa. Okay, with that, all in favor of the agenda this evening? Unanimous, thank you, everybody. We've got no minutes, so we'll move on to item number 2, which is the declaration of interests. Does anyone have any declarations of interest this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll move right on into 5A, new business. Request for decision and planning report, zoning bylaw amendment, ZBA 25-40 for a cannabis establishment. That will be Samantha presenting online. Go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Council, and good evening. I'd like to acknowledge first that the proponent for the application is in the gallery. So this is a rezoning application. To central business zone special exception to permit a cannabis establishment. The current higher experience cannabis location at 760 Fred Coleman was approved in 2022. This rezoning will allow the retail store to relocate 30 meters kind of kitty corner across the intersection to 609 Mattack Crescent. The existing building, the ground floor commercial space will be converted into 2 commercial spaces, and there are 6 residential units above. The B1 zone, the existing zoning on the lot, does not permit a cannabis establishment without a site-specific amendment. So it won't change the overall zone. The exception zone will just permit cannabis establishment as a permitted use. The general plan requires that cannabis establishments are only permitted in the B1 and B2 zones, subject to a site-specific amendment, and must be set back an appropriate distance from conflicting land uses, which includes residential, institutional, and recreational uses, as well as other bars and cannabis stores. Staff determined that under this provision of the general plan, The proposed location could not be interpreted to meet the general plan requirements from a planning perspective, as the residential units are directly above, and there are institutional uses surrounding that are quite close. However, the new location does not significantly increase the proximity to these sensitive uses, and the existing location was approved recently. It is at council's discretion to approve this new location, and staff would interpret that as an indication that the existing general plan policy does not reflect current planning intent for the city. The options are to approve the amendment. Options are to refuse the amendment, give first reading to the amendment as written in the attached, or there is a third option, which is to give first reading to the zoning bylaw amendment, but add updated conditions that establish some minimum proximities to sensitive uses. The recommendation is to refuse the amendment as outlined due to the conflict with the general plan. Thank you, Quantumique.
Thank you very much, Samantha, for that. And thank you for the kind of the clarification on the staff's recommendation that it just, you can't recommend something that doesn't necessarily fit within our general plan. That's not something that is really within your purview, but it is something that is within our purview as council. I do have a few thoughts on this that I'd like to share with my colleagues before we move on further. I had a few members of the public actually reach out to me thinking that this was a third cannabis retailer in town, and it would not be, just for clarity. It would just be the relocation of the one that's already downtown to a location that is essentially a very similar distance away from the sensitive areas that Sam was mentioned. I would also like to note, I think one of the major changes I've seen since the store was open was that the sky has not fallen from a cannabis retailer being downtown. And in fact, I think I've seen a significant decrease in the amount of like illegal drug dealing and stuff that was happening in front of North Mart. So I do think it is in the city's best interest to keep this in the downtown core. So just my thoughts on it. So, but happy to hear yours as well. Thank you. Councillor Nuttuck, go ahead.
I will not approve this amendment because the cannabis selling on the road has not changed at all. There's still a lot of that happening, and I still smell it all over the place. Even when I'm driving, I smell cannabis. I don't think this will correct the situation, even if we approve the move. I just want to be known that I will not vote for this at any time. I always have conversations with the RCMP, and it's not really good for the people of Iqaluit. Iqaluit, I want better things for the people of Iqaluit. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nuttuck, for your thoughts. For the smell of cannabis in town, it is a Nunavut law that you're allowed to smoke cannabis anywhere outside that's not a playground or a school. So that's not a city-specific regulation, but I don't know if that's perhaps something we can look at changing as a bylaw if it is something that we'd like to do, but for the general smell of it, that is not, that's a Nunavut regulation. Do you want to comment again? Go ahead.
Even though that's the case, this is my opinion, and I won't agree to that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Councillor Natak. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, please go ahead.
Thank you. Just a question on, has there been, I mean, I'm not too familiar with the store, or I know where the location is. Has there been any consultation with surrounding establishment? I don't seem to see anything in here. So I'm just curious if there has been consultations. Thank you.
Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor. So as part of the process when the first store was opened, because it does require a special zoning bylaw amendment, we have to go to public hearing. So we did do a public hearing at the time of the first location being open. And if we were to approve this one, it would just be approval of first reading, and it would still have to go to public hearing. So any of the surrounding properties at that time could come and tell us their concerns. Did I get that right there, Samantha? Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yes, that's correct.
Any other comments, or would someone like to? Okay, Councillor Tilley, go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. I thought that was going to turn red, but it's green. I mean, there's what I'm looking at here is not a big difference on where the store is going to be located if we do approve this, but I would like for this, I'll move to go with option number 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. So there's a motion on the floor for option 3 to give first reading and updated conditions on the proximity. Would admin like us to update or to give you direction on what the proximity we'd like it to see as part of option 3, or is that, it might be Matthew. Go ahead when you're ready, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair. The motion, it's understood by staff that the motion would give us the appropriate direction to proceed with what would be a proximity that would allow this to proceed. But if there's any additional commentary about what committee sees as appropriate, or if there are any specific uses, then feel free to also acknowledge those. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Matthew. Is there a seconder to the motion? Councillor Aglukkaq,
go ahead. No, Deputy Mayor Smith. I think it's always best to go a route where we include the public feedback for sure. And I think that would be really important in terms of seeing where that might go. So I would second the motion. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councillor. So there is a motion on the floor. Any further comments or questions? Councillor Nuttuck, go ahead, please.
I'm just going to say something important. I've never seen actual people from Iqaluit coming to talk to council. Mostly non-Inuit people come. they want money in their pocket. And that's the reason. And with money, we were born with no money. And we're here till today. Even though that's the case, I won't approve this amendment at this time. That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutta, as is your right. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, please go ahead.
Thank you. Just trying to get a clarification on the option three that would initiate public input. Thank you.
Yeah, option two or three would take us to first reading and to a public hearing. So, okay, with that, all in favor of the motion? Got three, four in favor. So Mayor Awa, Councillor Tilley, Councillor Glucark, and alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, and opposed. Got Councillor Nuttuk and Councillor Kunuk. Motion passes. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Samantha, as well. With that, we will move on to item 5B, which is the request for decision and planning report for 2026 to 2046. Some long-term visions here, which we like to see. So long-range planning, approval of immediate action items. So that will be our very own Matthew Dodds presenting. So go ahead, Matthew, when you are ready.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Committee. I'm going to share my screen in a moment so we can follow along together, but I just wanted to start off by mentioning that this item has two parts. There's the request for decision, and then there's a presentation and slide deck that comes with that. At the end of the presentation, we'll come back to the request for decision to talk about those motions. But I'll start off with the first slide of the presentation, and I'll do that by sharing my screen. I'll just give that a moment here. Okay, perfect. Yeah, so staff wanted to prepare and bring this item to committee. It follows the ongoing work that staff are doing on the new general plan and zoning bylaw. It's a 20-year planning horizon, so from 2026 to 2046, where we look at what the estimated population will be in 2046. And we use that number to determine what our needs are in terms of land and housing and infrastructure. Much of that conversation is around growth. I'll go to the next slide here. One moment. There we are. So I'll start off by talking about what those growth forecasts are. I'll talk about our residential needs, commercial needs, and industrial needs. From there, I'll talk about how growth and expansion can meet those needs. There's several growth areas from growth area A to G that we'll talk about in more detail. I'll give you an update on staff's work on the general plan and zoning bylaw, and then we'll discuss the motions that are in this item. There's a bit of a delay on the slide here, but there we go. When we're doing our population projections, we take growth trends from the past 20 years and we look at the typical growth rate or average growth rate. And we use that to forecast three different scenarios: a low growth, a moderate growth, and a high growth scenario. We also incorporate real development permit statistics into this analysis. We usually use the moderate scenario, or what's called a line of best fit, across all three scenarios to inform our planning decisions and our community planning work. In our community's case, the line of best fit actually aligns exactly with the moderate growth scenario So we're using that scenario. We're predicted to reach over 12,500 residents by 2046, which is about a 4,000 person increase from today's estimated population. Looking at the past 15 years of information, we can see that Iqaluit's housing market has shifted towards higher densities. Apartments once comprised 37.7% of our housing supply, and now it's nearing 50%. While medium density and duplex development has remained quite steady over the past 15 years, we've seen more construction starts, we've seen less and less construction starts for single detached dwellings. And what was once 30% of Iqaluit's housing supply is now closer to 22%. So we're seeing a decline in single detached or single family homes, and we're seeing an increase in apartments. Some facts. Since 2011, we've been mostly redeveloping in the core area mainly and near the core. We've added approximately 55 new low-density homes in that time. And as mentioned, the row dwellings have been fairly steady, and the ratio of row homes in our community are relatively similar to what they were 15 years ago. Since 2018, we have not expanded through subdivision development. So in 2018, that was Jomi Court. However, to meet our population target of 12,500 and to address our existing housing shortages and our overcrowding issues, we will need to aim for 2,559 new homes from now until 2046, with a higher initial volume to meet shortages and fix the market issues that we're experiencing. We also understand that NTI's Nunavut Tongariki's new housing action plan specifically mentions that Inuit purposed housing is met in the form of single and semi-detached dwellings. So all of this information points towards the city needing to facilitate more housing with a more balanced portfolio that can support families of various sizes and needs. Our commercial land needs are a little bit different than our housing needs. They've been largely met through redevelopment of the core over the past 20 years or so. However, much of that development has been towards office supply. There's an identified need for non-office commercial development, things like retail and services. And based on our land needs assessment that prepared this report and the draft general plan, it analyzes population growth, typical needs of commercial land per capita, and the amount of commercial land currently available. Staff recommend that council aim to provide an additional hectare of commercial land to meet demand until 2046. And that number is lower than the residential need, for instance, because much of the core area is already designated and should facilitate redevelopment. For industrial needs, there's been quite little industrial land expansion over the past two decades. But with recent approvals, the design of the West 40 subdivision, staff are expecting to meet demands until approximately 2035. Around 2030, the city should look to reassess land needs and look to expand our industrial land supply. Perhaps expanding the North 40, looking at the Upper Base Road are both available options to expand and meet industrial land needs by 2046. And so now that I've talked about how our growth targets and land needs for residential, commercial, and industrial should inform our planning decisions, I'm going to speak more to growth and expansion. and how we can meet those. But first, here's a look at how the city's expanded over the last 20 years. So it might be small on the screen, but if you're looking at in front of you, you can see that in 2006 and 2011, we rolled out the development of Upper Plateau Phase 1 and 2, and also Lower Plateau. In 2015, there was a small expansion of the West 40 towards the brewery. In 2006, there was an expansion to the Road to Nowhere subdivision where some apartment buildings were constructed. In 2013, the city expanded Apex towards where the cemetery is. And in 2017, we developed Jomi Court as a small infill type subdivision. During all of that, we've continued to intensify the core area, which has been the main contributor as of late, since, as mentioned, we have not developed since Jomi Court, or expanded our urban area since Jomi Court. So that's a summary of expansion over the last 20 years, and now we'll talk about expansion over the next 20 years. Long-range planning for the next 20 years will need to consider Khalid's growing population and strategize. Growth areas A through G identified in this map are areas for growth and expansion recommended. Those in blue are already ongoing projects. The yellow color is ongoing redevelopment of the core. The areas in green are proposed future expansion areas, some of which are already in the general plan. And so I'll discuss each growth area from A to G in more detail. Starting with growth area A, which is the expansion of the North 40. The strategy for growth area A is to relocate, to first start off by exploring the relocation of the quarry to a more distant location, to allow the North 40 to expand in that direction. This accomplishes two things. It'll allow for airside growth. We understand that the Department of Defense is interested in airside land, and this is critical to this project, that this area is reserved for airside purposes. It also allows the city to meet that industrial land supply demand that will that we know will come up in 2035. The alternatives are limited in terms of where we expand our industrial land supply, and this would be a good fit as the North 40 is already industrial, and it would just be an expansion of what's existing. So the next steps that staff have identified for growth area A is to start off with a site selection process for a new quarry. And this would be done just to see what options there are. There are some existing studies and there are other deposits that exist and that would be considered in that site selection process, but it isn't a necessary first step before we even talk about relocating it. And secondly, to collaborate with government to expand pipe services to this area, and that would include the Department of Defense. Move on to growth area B, we're quite familiar with. This is the West 40. This strategy is already accomplished largely. The next step is to finish the ongoing lot competition, which staff already have motions from council to do, and to complete the construction of new roads and infrastructure, which staff already have direction and motions from council to do. So growth area B is already underway. Growth area C is the expansion and intensification of the core area. Through expansion of the what we call the Sivamuogiaq Development Area, which is a partnership with QIA, we're able to expand the quarry area and see more mixed use and different types of development in that area. Meanwhile, there's an opportunity for council to implement zoning reform, so to make development a little bit easier in the core area through general plan and zoning bylaw policy. If we're able to do these two things, make development easier and allow more development in the core area and expand it, we'll be able to meet our commercial and institutional land needs. And this is also an important step to meeting our residential targets. So staff have identified two next steps. They both relate to the draft general plan. It's to proceed with allowing the whole core area to be under a single high density zone with a mix of uses allowed, and to increase the delegated authority of the development officer to allow more predictable developments to proceed without having to come to committee for every decision. So these two strategies will allow us to meet our projected population. I'll move on to growth area D. Growth area D, council has already approved bylaw amendments to support this. This is the incremental expansion of Tundra Ridge. This helps address some of that initial low-density residential development demand that is also contributing to NTI's housing action plan for single and semi-detached. The next steps that we staff, again, already have motions for are to work towards a land disposal agreement. That land disposal agreement will return to committee and council in the future if a proponent is selected. And to also expand storage capacity for water and sewer trucks, because these developments are an expansion of an existing truck service area. Move on to growth area E. Growth area E is the area of land between Road to Nowhere, north of and adjacent to Road to Nowhere, and north of the new Recovery Center building. This area is currently designated for future development in Council's general plan that's already in force. But staff have identified that growth area E has good conditions for pipe service higher density development. This is due to its proximity and its strategic advantages for transportation. There are multiple entry points into the subdivision, making it integrate better with the rest of Khalid. And we know that the geotechnical conditions, while still needing more study from a surficial assessment, are better. We know that there's more bedrock in this area, making high-density development more feasible. The expansion of growth area E on pipe services, roughly starting in 2029 and going until 2038, should help with council's targets for, or Iqaluit's targets for commercial, institutional, and residential land. The next steps that staff have identified are to update the existing servicing and transportation studies to consider a bit higher density as originally envisioned in the current general plan, and to lift the existing development scheme and proceed with the first steps of growth area E. Growth area F is a small, or is a flat area of land adjacent to the Arctic Winter Games Arena. The area has a history of plans. So in the general plan, it was identified as a future reserve for facilities. There is an existing reserve that the council at the time had looked at to see potentially a large civic building or the relocation of the legislator or some sort of government building in that area. The strategy here is to continue along with that same notion of attracting large institutional projects We believe, staff believe, it's an appropriate location for this type of development and will fit well with the other growth areas that are adjacent. These types of facilities require pipe services, and because this land is already adjacent to pipe services, it is another good fit. And these types of facilities, when co-located, can take advantage of shared parking policies. So that would mean reducing the overall amount of parking lot area while still being able to meet the parking needs of shared facilities, or of two facilities. It's a large and flat plateau of land, and that is also suitable for large facility development. The next steps for growth area F to meet those institutional land needs are to designate and zone the lands for institutional development in the draft general plan, and to coordinate facility projects and their servicing in this area. Growth area G, this is, if you just keep going past growth area F, it's a large plateau of land on both the right and left side of the road to Apex as you start going down towards Apex. The strategy here is to develop low-density, family-oriented housing on truck services at a substantial volume. We believe this land and its location makes is suitable for truck service development. It's both ideal geotechnically and would, at this time, would be difficult to service with Utilidor. And its location, with only one way in and out, would not be as ideal for higher density development, similar to how Apex only has one way in and out from the rest of the community. But it would fit well with a lower density. And also due to its location, both in proximity to the coast and to the Apex River, it can promote access to the land along with single detached dwellings that can take advantage of their yards to store on the land activity-related equipment. So the next steps for growth area G is to commence multi-method community engagement to help the community envision what they'd like to see in terms of low-density development, and to strategize the development approach, undertake some due diligence studies, and review those with council at an upcoming or at a future meeting. Just waiting for the slide. There we go. After reviewing growth areas A through G and thinking beyond 2046, there is an opportunity, as shown in the map in the slide, to expand even further. This is something that future staff and future councils or the department in closer to 2046 would have to decide on. But now is an opportunity to both preserve that potential and to identify it. Doing so allows us to plan ahead. Growth area H is a swath of land on the opposite side of Apex River. It's been identified as a potential development area for some time, though it's never been put into the general plan because the general plan's existing development areas are sufficient. But moving beyond 2046, council will need to start looking at where they grow. And the options are limited. We're in between two rivers along a coast. And the right now the water and sewer system is centralized, and growth area H is potentially the most feasible for future expansion. But by identifying it now, we can preserve future road connections into growth area H when we're developing growth area G. So staff would propose that in the draft general plan, we simply identify it as potential. We're not proposing that we will develop it. There's still an immense amount of community consultation that would have to take place before they ever grow into growth area H, but it is worth identifying it so that we don't ruin that opportunity in the future by closing it off. This map shows if we implement all the growth areas from A to G, the areas in blue would expand Iqaluit's urban boundary. So the city would look different. Instead of undeveloped areas, those areas in blue would become developed. This timeline, it represents staff's recommendations in terms of timing the growth and expansion projects. The timeline aligns with ongoing capital projects related to long-term water and the expansion of truck services storage infrastructure. Staff would propose that and this will be reflected in the motions and the request for decision, that growth areas G, F, and E have more upfront need for action. You can see that they're positioned in the future, but the planning work starts now for these items. And so you'll see that in the request for decision with respect to this timeline. So this chart shows if the city commits to these growth areas, we can achieve our housing targets and surpass them. We can satisfy our commercial, industrial, and institutional land needs to meet the growing population. It also shows that the estimated tax revenue from these developments would increase, and these estimates were calculated using recent property assessment information and the 2026 mill rate. That's all I have on that. And there's a lot of information in the chart to review. I won't go through all of it, but it just goes and outlines how each area contributes to those overall goals and targets. Right, so as council knows, staff are currently working towards adopting or proposing a new general plan and zoning bylaw. The current documents are understood to be outdated. This results in site-specific rezoning applications, variance applications, and other permitting issues. Staff have prepared new plans to repeal and replace these bylaws. These plans are at a stage where they can be shared to the public and council for review and have some public exposure before returning for first reading. Once comments are addressed and the plan reflects the vision of council and the community, we would look to bring it back for first reading this year. Staff have been working on these plans for some time. There's been community engagement, ongoing input provided through committee meetings and discussions on items that relate to the plans, a tremendous amount of work from a large team of planners, and incorporates a lot of changes, but to summarize the biggest highlights, it incorporates the long-range planning recommendations that are in today's report. The new plan incorporates council's feedback over the years. It has that zoning reform that we talked about in the core area. There are several housekeeping fixes just to make the plan operate more smoothly. There are new map schedules. So the map is more modern. It follows property lines and allows for easier web mapping. Just more of a communication thing to make the plans more accessible. It establishes family-oriented neighborhoods and limits their intensification. So the new plan locks in single-family residential neighborhoods, communicating to developers that these neighborhoods, Apex, Tundra Valley, the lower density part of Tundra Ridge and Happy Valley, these are family-oriented neighborhoods, and their council does not see them as future redevelopment situations. Whereas there are some lots that could potentially be redeveloped, and so that there's clear communication on that. The new plan also incorporates new policies on workforce housing. That includes implementing a new workforce housing zone and also allowing an increased supply of workforce housing in industrial areas. This is in response to feedback we've received from committee and council, and to meet an identified need for workforce housing. As we've informed committee in the past, the new plan identifies climate hazards and informs development based on those climate hazards. It reduces red tape for small-scale commercial uses, which would allow smaller-scale commercial uses that fit within residential neighborhoods to establish rather than be restricted. This is to support small business. So the new plan incorporates all of these things and more. It's gone through multiple phases, through community input in the initial stages of the plan, stakeholder input. We prepared a first draft, new maps, hosted internal workshops, prepared a second draft, and we're at this stage now where we're preparing the long-range planning report, and it's going through graphic design. The next stage would be to translate and publish, have council review and public comment, and work towards a finalized draft and first reading. As mentioned, there are recommended motions in the request for decision. In summary, staff are recommending that for the general plan and zoning bylaw, we proceed with translation and publishing the documents for community and council review. For growth area E, which is the area between Road to Nowhere and the Recovery Center, to update servicing studies and analyze the area for higher density. For area F, this is the institutional area, to proceed with the changes in the general plan and to accept land applications from interested facility developers. And for area G, commence a mixed method community engagement process to inform planning decisions and to start feasibility studies and start developing the area, or to start feasibility studies that would allow us to look at what development of the area would look like. So that presentation is concluded, and I'll stop sharing my screen. And I would just mention that in 5B, in the council package, the motions are there. It is the motions that I, the recommendations that I just discussed. And if there's any questions at all, we're happy to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Matthew, and to the whole planning team. Like, I know a lot of work clearly went into this presentation. It's nice to kind of see, I guess, the long-term vision kind of all put into one place. It's really excellent work. Does anyone have any comments? Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sivota. First,
thank you,
Matthew and the team. It's so refreshing to see a package that we've been waiting for, and having it outlined in specific areas that are highlighted for industry and others. So very happy to see that. My question would be, in reviewing what was that presented, it's just a question. They didn't seem to identify recreational areas for, like, baseball fields and recreation areas for basketball fields. So I'm just curious, maybe I missed it, but maybe it's in there. I'll have another follow-up question after. Thank you. Again, very well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Back to you, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you for the question. Yes, it's a great question. The plan that was presented is very high level, but once we get into the actual growth area, so once we start planning growth area E, for instance, we'll always allocate a certain amount of that land for recreation, parks, and things of that nature. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. You said you had a follow-up, Alternate Deputy Mayor.
Thank you for the answer. Second question would be, since this is a general plan, I guess we will eventually down the road see a master plan.
Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor. Matthew, please go ahead.
Well, we don't have a plan called the master plan. I think this, hopefully this is the one that we're looking for. The general plan and zoning bylaw together is the master plan. Hopefully that works. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Matthew. Councillor Konuk, go ahead, please.
Okay. Let me short.
Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I mean, it's very similar to Harris. I'd like to see a plan that is, covers everything, including recreational areas, that H behind Apex Little River, I think we should leave that for golf course. And we should also identify where sliding hill and things like that. There's more if we started to looking at it more closely. It's a good start. Thank you very much for the hard work you guys did for this one.
Thank you.
Golf tournament here in Iqaluit instead, hey? Right on. Mayor Awa, go ahead, please.
Yeah, we're gonna make you work.
Thank you.
Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew, for your presentation. Well done. I just want to ask a question with respect to the industrial areas. For example, if there was a store for wood supplies or places where you can go get your trucks or cars serviced, those kind of things under industrial. There doesn't seem to be a lot written under that section under industrial. I'm just wondering if there would be more an elaborate section under in the future under that section. Thank you.
Mayor Awa, back to you, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mayor Awa, for the question. Service garages and similar uses are permitted in industrial zones. So when we do expand, for instance, to the West 40, or eventually expand the North 40, we would hope to see more of those uses. Ultimately, it's up to the market or the developers to build them, but the council's policies would permit those uses. If we wanted to see those uses specifically, the land administration bylaw gives council some tools there if we wanted to have a competition for that specifically. But hopefully that answers your question. And it would, yeah, so as we grow, we would facilitate and attract that kind of development.
Thank you, Matthew. Follow up at all, Mayor Awa? No. Okay. All right. Have a safe trip. Councillor Tilley, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith, and thank you for that presentation, Matthew. It's all perfect. It's a well-put document. My only question is the growth area A. If we're to go ahead, I would go for option 2, so I can direct you to go get more information on the geotechnical information that where the next quarry might be. I don't want to jump ahead and tell you and tell us where it is. I want to make a sound decision on the next quarry. And for staff to go to the users of the quarry, if that's going to make a big cost impact to Iqaluit, My other question is, not a question, but a comment. The government did do a geotechnical study of my memory about 10, 12 years ago of where to find gravel for the city. One was being this, and the other being somewhere else, which from what I've been told was a much better area for getting gravel, but ultimately this was chosen because of the close proximity of the town, so the cost would be a bit better for Iqaluit and the city. If we're gonna go ahead with this, that's the only area that I would recommend to get more information before I make a decision on going ahead with this this long range planning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tilley. As in the staff recommendations, the only part of growth area A that is that we would be voting on tonight is to initiate a site selection study for a future relocation. So that would be part of this whole thing, is to initiate this a review of, you know, future sites for the quarry. So if that answers your questions, or would you like Matthew to comment further? Okay. Matthew, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Council, for the question. Yeah, we understand the hesitancy and the need for more information to make a decision on that. The motion is not intended to give staff the go-ahead to move the quarry or to even designate those lands for anything other than resource extraction. In the draft general plan, actually, they're identified as resource extraction. The existing quarry would stay as is. It's not until we've looked at site selection, and that would also, a site selection study is, as you mentioned, a lot of the investigative work is already done. But we would look at impacts economically. We would talk to stakeholders that are in the quarry and look at all of those factors. So we could proceed as is with that in mind, or a motion that specifically requested staff to consult with those stakeholders could be added. But as is, that is the intent, is aligned with Councillor Tilley's direction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Good, Councillor Tilley. Back to Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair.
I know that on my right side, on my left side, we have a long time councillors who have been working hard on this particular plan. They have probably have a lot more knowledge and expertise in what's being discussed. It's unfortunate that they're not here. Is it critical that we put a motion forward at this time? Just a general question, because I'm just curious about my colleagues not being here, and I would appreciate the input from them as well. Thank you. Since this is a critical critical time, because we've been working on this for so long. So thank you.
Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor. As far as our colleagues go, I would say if we had to wait every time till the room was full, it would take a lot longer to get things done. But this is a PD cow, so anything we do say here tonight still has to come to council to a council meeting for final approval. So anything, like, we're not making the actual decision here tonight. We're just recommending that council makes that decision. So it would still have to go to them again. So I think that will give that opportunity. If that makes sense and works for you. And City Clerk just informed me that they will both be here at the council meeting next week. So, if that satisfies that. Okay. So we do have some staff recommendations here based on this presentation. I did ask our clerk if we needed individual motions. She said no, so one motion to accept the staff recommendations would be sufficient if anyone did want to make that motion this evening. Councillor Quinnock moves. Councillor Tilley, please go ahead.
Just with one exception, if that's okay, for Area Growth A. Because I do believe the users of that place will further down the road know better that it's going to... it's hard for myself to make a decision on... I don't know what the cost is going to be. And that's the hardest part that I can't get past, is the cost implications of if we accept this now and then we accept it on the final draft without the users of... Because that's the only area that has users in it where potentially that we're going to... I don't want to use the word kick them out, but move them to the a different quarry if that site selection's final. It's just that I want to know the cost implication of moving further in 10 years, in 20 years, how much that's going to cost the city, if that's going to cripple us or not. So I want to know before we move ahead with the site users of Growth A, if that's going to affect the city down the road. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. I did think that the stakeholders would be consulted as part of that, I think Matthew said, but our CAO would actually like to comment as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Councillor, for your comments. I get where you're coming from. I understand it. There's another layer involved in this, that this is the area that D&D are keenly interested in. So we're very early in our discussions yet with D&D, and all those things will be discussed. They are coming to town in March to give a presentation to administration. We're working with them on giving a town hall type meeting as well, and to present to council. We will position, if this move takes place, the quarry is relocated to accommodate D&D, that there will be the cost associated with move will be as much as possible looked after by D&D. I can't talk on behalf of D&D, but that's what, as the administration, that's what we're positioning that conversation to look like when it comes. So I get your comments, very valid to bring forward. I'm happy to hear them. And we're very mindful of that as we move forward with discussions with D&D. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Matthew, so stakeholders or users of the quarry, would those be included in the studies?
Okay. Yes, thank you, Chair, and that's correct. When we're doing a site selection study, the first step will be stakeholder input. We've already talked to them about this idea of expanding and the quarry and other deposits. We've gotten their opinion on the Northwest deposit and the Trail Area deposit. We have a good sense of some of the costs. There's the cost of moving gravel from a further distance and some of the reasons why this resource was selected ultimately. I also had heard that when Councillor Tilley was commenting on Growth Area A just now, that there was some hesitancy around approving something. We have no intention of designating any of this in the general plan. So in the draft general plan and zoning bylaw, this area is locked in as resource extraction. There's no decision tonight to redesignate those lands, and it would have to come back to committee several times before it's ever moved. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Good. Councillor Nutta.
Yeah,
the Department of National Defense. He's confused because Unalit, we call Unalit in Inuktitut Indians, and it's a dialect thing. We're talking about the Department of National Defense, and because the interpreter used Unalit, it makes it sound like I'm talking about Indians. Because we'll have to be careful. Because we don't get notified about land from the original residents of Iqaluit who really know the land. But I can say now, there's not much sand or gravel around. They'll probably have to do a lot of crushing of rocks to get the gravel, even if they move the gravel pit. That's all I wanted to say.
A general comment, I think. Councillor Konuk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a motion that I made. My understanding was that we accepting the presentation so that we can work on it. We still need to do a lot of work on it, but we accepting it as that's the document we're going to be based on planning for the future. My motion is still not seconded.
Thank you, Councillor Konuk. I was just about to get to it. So this is the motion is to accept the staff recommendations based on the proposal. So Councillor Glukark seconds. Do we have any further comments or questions? Alternate Deputy Mayor, please go ahead.
I'd just like to take the opportunity again. Thank you, Matthew, and the staff. We do now have a general plan in place. So all the actual work is going to start. Public hearing, consultations, others are going to finally start. So I'm all for it. Thank you.
Awesome. And with those last positive comments there, all in favor? Councillor Nuttuck? No? Okay. So four in favor, Councillor Tilley, Councillor Glukark, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, and Councillor Konuk, and opposed, Councillor Nuttuck? Okay. Moving on to our next item, which is our in-camera item. So just need a motion to go in-camera. Councillor Tilley moves. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. So we'll do a 5-minute break. Thanks. Okay. And we're back, folks. So the last item on our agenda is a motion to adjourn. Councillor Tilley moves. Councillor Glukark seconds. Comments, questions? Seeing none, all in favor. All right, unanimous. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you next time. Thank you again to our interpreters this evening.